Welcome to the Launch Grow Joy Show, where entrepreneurs learn how to launch a business and grow it with joy. And now, here's your host, Andrea Ayers.
Hello, everyone. This is Andrea Ayers of LaunchGrowJoy.com, and welcome back to episode 51 of the Launch Grow Joy Show. That's right, we just surpassed 50 episodes, which I am so excited about. The other thing that I'm very excited about is today's guest, and her name is Sarah Shuda. And Sarah and I talk about all about email marketing. We talk about some tools that she recommends, how to grow your list, what to ask for when you get someone to sign up for your email address, how often you should be sending out emails to your own list, and a lot more. We cover a lot during this episode. But before I share my interview with her, I wanted to tell you about a really awesome training that I have going on this week on October 22nd. It's called 5 Tweaks You Can Make to Your Online Store to Get More Sales Without Getting More Traffic. I know that's a really long title, but I would love for you to register. The registration page is at launchgrowjoy.com/online store. So launchgrowjoy.com/online store. And the reason I'm so excited about this training is because this is a training that came out as a result of all of you asking me to create this. So if you might remember, a couple of months ago, I sent out a survey. I know I talked a lot about the survey, but I sent out a survey and I was quite surprised and shocked, to be honest, when I realized, or when you told me, that the majority of you have less than $1,000 in sales in your online store. And a lot of you also have less than 100 people on your email list. So I decided to do something about that, which is why I'm creating this course called Your Ultimate Online Store. And part of what I wanted to offer you was a free training. This is not paid. It's not part of the course, but it's a free training that really walks you through the 5 most important pages on your website and small tweaks that you can make to increase your conversions. Because I know all of us want more traffic, but the problem is when you get more traffic and that traffic is not converted or converting really well, you've wasted both your time and money if you decided to take out ads to drive traffic to that website. So my goal with this webinar, this free training that's happening on October 22nd, and with the course that I'll be telling you about during the webinar, is to really help you to take a look at your existing website and optimize every single page on your website. And I know that sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. I really break it down for you. But optimize each page on your website so that you can get more of the traffic that actually comes to your website to convert into sales. I feel like there's all this focus on, I want more traffic. But what happens is, yes, you can get that traffic, but if it's not converting, most people are not going to come back to your website. So I would love for you to be part of that training. It's happening at launchgrowjoy.com/online store. And I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes episode as well. So I really hope to see you there. And without further ado, here is my interview about email marketing with Sarah Shuda. Enjoy. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm very excited to have you on today. I know we're going to talk about email marketing and best practices and all of that good stuff today. But before we do that, I was wondering if you can just take a few minutes and share a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey, how you got started, and what you're up to today.
Sure. So my journey actually started about 5 years ago. My background is primarily in design, and specifically web design. I own a web design studio actually called Sarah Lynn Design, and my new business, actually, that we're going to talk about in a little bit, kind of came from that beginning. So in my past experiences, I've worked with a number of different clients. Actually, before I started my own design studio, my first actual job out of college was with a e-commerce company. So I actually got a lot of my email marketing background from that experience and kind of took that with me to my own web design studio and now to my new company called Open Merit, which focuses completely on email marketing. And I guess I always had wanted to start my own business ever since, I guess, graduating college. My parents both own their own businesses, so I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Yeah, I really enjoy having the freedom of, having my own schedule, but also the freedom of picking who I'm working with. So working with people who really have great ideas, who are as passionate about running their business as I am, and I love having the ability to help them grow their businesses as much as I, enjoy growing mine. So.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally can relate to the flexible schedule. It's one of the reasons why I became an entrepreneur too. And I know most of our audience listening today too, even though sometimes we do tend to work a little too much, but at least we do have control over that, right?
Right. We are our own worst enemy, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, so I want to talk today all about email marketing because I know this is one of those topics that my listeners and my readers and my audience, they kind of struggle with it a little bit. And I know for me, as someone who teaches other entrepreneurs, it's pretty clear for me if I'm teaching about PR or if I'm teaching about, wholesale or your website or whatever it is that I'm teaching about, my emails are going to focus on those topics. But what about if you are selling jewelry or if you have an e-commerce website, I don't know, selling candles or inspirational t-shirts? So I want to get into how an online store owner can use email to really grow their business. But before we go there, can you share a little bit about why is it so important that online store owners and e-commerce entrepreneurs build an email list to begin with?
Well, I think the biggest reason, aside from making more sales and just telling people about you or reminding them about you, is to actually learn a lot more about your customers. And I think a lot of people miss that big point when they are sending out email campaigns. They focus too much on sales. And obviously, sales are always the end goal. But I think with email, you have the opportunity to communicate directly with your customers. You can learn more about them by asking them specific questions and being able to track and see what they're interested in particular. And that can actually help shape your website. It can take you even further than just that one initial sale, long term.
Yeah, and I want to come back to that, to connecting with your customers and really getting to know them because I found that for me, when I had both my t-shirt business and my soap business, and now I really can attest to that because email has been the number one way that I've been getting direct feedback and have been able to connect with my customers. So I want to come back to that in just a second. But for someone who, let's say they just launched their online store or their e-commerce website, what are some tools that you recommend when it comes to building your email list?
That's a good question. I believe strongly in content marketing, so I've always been a big believer in having a blog, also being active on social media. I think if you're sharing things that are interesting and that are going to help your customers and not always focusing on, selling, 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 you're going to get a better community going, and that will increase your chances of them wanting to sign up for your content and your emails, and also then also give you the opportunity to sell to them once they fully trust you and believe in what you're offering.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, giving them, or I was actually going to mention, I'm a huge fan of giving people a reason to sign up for their list, for your list. So
Definitely.
instead of just saying, sign up for my newsletter or get the latest updates, what are some ideas that you have that you can share with an online store owner to offer as an incentive for someone to sign up? I know a coupon is the obvious one, but what are some of the other ideas that you have?
I think, for example, you could give away maybe a helpful guide. I've actually seen, as a real example, a company that I have purchased a planner from called Day Designer. She actually does a really great job of promoting her planner by also providing free downloadable planning guides. So it helps you do other things aside from the planner. So it's kind of like a companion product, but she offers it for free. So, and she also does maybe every once a month, I would say, she offers a free webinar which helps business owners learn how to be more productive and plan their day. All of these things, I think, help people see her product as being more valuable to them. So I think that's a strategy. It depends on what you're offering too. I guess if you're selling jewelry, for example, that's a little bit more difficult, I think. Perhaps you could send your subscribers a free fashion guide or how to pair certain products with certain pieces that you offer. Going that extra mile to give them more of a reason to buy your items, I think is always helpful.
Yeah, you know, two things. I love those ideas, and two things that I've tried that have worked really well. One was with my soap business, where one of my opt-ins or freebies that I was offering was a guide to ingredients to avoid in beauty products. And that's because my brand was all about organic, eco-friendly, natural. So naturally, my audience is going to be interested in ingredients that they can avoid and toxics and things like that that couldn't be lurking in their beauty products. So that was something that worked really well for me. Another thing that I did with my t-shirt business that also helped to get a lot of people on my email list was to offer a contest. And I had, you know, for a few months, once a month, I would draw a winner from everyone who entered, and they basically would enter their name and email address to get a chance to enter the contest. And that was a great way for me to connect with them. And I know some people might be thinking, well, isn't that people who just want free stuff from you? And yes, to some extent, you know, that could be true. But the great thing about it is that they're wanting my stuff. It's not like I was giving away an iPad or a gift certificate to Amazon.com. So I feel like as long as you're giving away your product, only people who are truly interested in your product are going to be entering their email address. So keeping that relevant is definitely important there as well. And I know when I first started, I used MailChimp to set up my email list and my opt-in form. Is that the tool you recommend when you first started working with a client, or do you have other email marketing providers that you recommend?
I've actually worked with quite a few of them. As of late, you know, currently on our site on Open Merit, we use MailChimp. I'm actually considering switching to Emma. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they have started offering a lot more interesting tools as far as learning about your customers. So being able to see what people are clicking on and creating, you can actually create different segments based on links in your emails so that your campaigns are more targeted. And their template builder is really cool. So I highly recommend checking them out.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I'm definitely familiar with them, but I haven't been to their website in a while to see what any new features they have. But that sounds really, really exciting and a little more advanced than what MailChimp can do. And I know for me, when I first started, I was using MailChimp because it's free, I believe, for your first 2,000 subscribers. And
Yep, it is.
Yeah, great. And I always recommend that as a way to get started. But even for me, there was a point where I felt like I was outgrowing MailChimp, and I ended up switching to Infusionsoft because even though it gave me way more features than I can possibly use or need, it was a great way for me to tag my subscribers based on the products they purchased. But I was also using that to get in touch with my wholesale customers too, and to do follow-up sequences. So I feel like email or the tool that you're going to be using sometimes can change based on what it is that your business needs or the stage that you are at. So I'll definitely make sure to mention Emma or to put a link to that in the show notes, because I do know of quite a few entrepreneurs who use it. So thank you for mentioning that. One thing that I'm curious about is, and I know there's a lot of pros and cons to this, but do you recommend asking for first name and email address or just email address in your opt-in form?
Best practice is to ask for as little as possible. I like to ask for the first name just because it feels more personable when you at least know their first name. It feels like you care about who they are a little bit. I would say going beyond that is unnecessary and will likely decrease the number of people you'll have signing up for your email lists. It's best to kind of learn as you go. about your customers and kind of gather more information as you send them email campaigns rather than asking for it upfront.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. And there've actually been a couple of websites that I've been to where I wanted to sign up for their email list and they were asking me for my birth date and my zip code. And I know that's information they need, but at the same time, I also felt like, well, it's a little too early for me to be giving you that. And it felt like I'm happy to give you that, but maybe after we've communicated a couple of times, and then you can ask me that information, not right off the bat. So I guess, yeah, first name and email is what I ask for too, because I agree with you. It seems a little more personal. And when I'm sending out my emails, when I say, you know, dear Sarah or dear Lisa, it does make your email seem more personal, even though it's a mass email that's going out to everyone. Mm-hmm. So I agree. It could maybe slightly decrease the number of people who sign up. But at the same time, I think it's more important to have your audience be able to relate to you and have the experience feel a little more personal than just the email address. So I'm happy that we both agree on that.
It's like going on a first date. You don't want to ask too much at first, but then every day after the first date, you ask a little more, and then you get to know each other.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. One other thing that I'd love your opinion on is, do you recommend double opt-in or single opt-in? And for those listeners who might not know what that means, is double opt-in is when you ask someone to confirm their email address via email after they have signed up for your email list. And single opt-in is where they give you their name and email address, but you don't ask them to confirm that they did want to sign up. So what do you prefer and what do you recommend?
I would actually recommend doing a double opt-in as much as you can. I know in some cases for retailers, if you are signing somebody up when they're placing an order, so on their like account page, as they're checking out or creating an account, you know, to view their orders for later, maybe you'll have like a little checkbox that says, sign me up for the newsletter. In that case, I probably wouldn't send them another opt-in email beyond that, since they're already receiving an order receipt or account information from you. I think they are, at that point, they already trust you enough and have already checked that box. They kind of know what they're getting. You don't want to bombard them with too many emails, I don't think, at that point.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. What about signing people up for your email newsletter when they purchase something from you? I don't know exactly the laws around that, but if someone buys something from you, is that an indication that you can send them emails that are other than their order confirmation? Do you know?
Technically not, unless it's related to their order, since they didn't ask for it. It's definitely a gray area. I would say I wouldn't do it just because you don't want your domain that you're sending from to get blacklisted or get a lot of spam complaints. Even though they've ordered from you and they know who you are, I think it's always best to ask first and make sure that they know that they're getting it from you before you do it.
Great point. That's sort of like the first date. When they buy from you, that's the first date. And then, you know, when you go on your second date, then you can ask them if they want to get your email newsletter. So, we can use that analogy again. I want to switch gears a little bit, still talking about email marketing, but in terms of how often should you send an email to people who have signed up for your list, what do you recommend? I think for me, I'm trying to remember back when I had my t-shirt business and my soap, I used to send emails once a month. And I think a lot of our listeners send them once a month. But now with Launch Grow Joy, I send them once a week and sometimes even more often than once a week. But for online store owners and e-commerce entrepreneurs, what do you recommend in terms of how often they should be contacting their list?
I would say at minimum once a month. It depends too on how many products you have and what type of products you're selling, and also the content of your email. Most of my e-commerce retailers, they have email lists and they send to them every week. And I think that's been a pretty good, that's worked out pretty well for most of them. if you only have one or two products, it can be a little more difficult to come up with content every week. And it can, you know, annoy your customers unless you're providing additional value with sending them blog posts and other types of content. But yeah, I would say once a week is pretty good. I know retailers who send multiple times per day. I don't personally work with them, but
that sounds like a lot of work too.
I've tracked different retailers who do send multiple times per day, or, you know, once per day. And I think that's a little overkill, but it keeps them in your mind. That's for sure. Not in a good way, I don't think, but.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that too. And I want to talk about content in just a second, but before we do that, I'm wondering if you, from working with clients and looking at open rates and click-through rates, have you found a best time and day to send out your emails, or does it really depend on your industry?
It does depend on your industry, and it always depends on your individual audience. I think you learn a lot from doing testing and seeing what works for your individual list. For the most part, though, when you're sending B2C, which most e-commerce retailers are, B2C usually does the best when people aren't typically working. So on the weekends, later at night, early in the morning, maybe sometimes at the lunch hour. And then the opposite goes for B2B businesses, more times during the workday when people are actually looking for your services, when they're at work for their boss, generally during the day, not at the evenings and weekends.
That's a really great point. That's something that I hadn't thought about. But you're right, because people are busy during the day. And if your ideal audience is the end consumer who might have a job or, you know, might be at home with their kids, they don't necessarily have time to be checking their email during the day. So that is a really, really great tip. And I also urge everyone to test out their list and see what works for them, because what works, maybe Tuesday works for one certain type of business and Fridays or Sundays work for a different business. So I'm always a huge fan of testing to see what works for your audience as well. So
yeah, it's hard to see some. I know a lot of times different blogs will share, oh, it's best to send on Tuesdays at 4, or, you know, they're very specific. And I think it's still a generalization. You know, you definitely have to test your own lists and see what works.
Yeah, great. And I know some email marketing services even let you do split testing, where you can test out subject lines or different things like that too. So if your email service provider can do that for you, that's an even more incentive for everyone to be testing that as well. And I want to come back to the content, because I know this is something that comes up all the time. Whenever I share tips about email marketing or sending out email newsletters, so many e-commerce entrepreneur and store owners say, well, other than sharing one of my products, what else should I be emailing about, and how long should my newsletter be? So what do you recommend? What are some ideas for things that you can be emailing your list about other than your actual product? And how long should your weekly or monthly newsletters be?
I'm going to start at the end. So I think the length actually doesn't really matter all that much anymore. I think when we're opening our emails on phones or other devices, people are just used to scrolling, and length really isn't a big deal. You can get to the point where your email is too big file size wise. So on some mobile phones, it'll show a button that says download full email, which can hurt you sometimes as far as click-through rates go. Some people might not see the rest of the email because they don't want to click the button. But really, there really isn't a specific rule on length. I would say if you're going to email, so let's say you have a product feature on the top of your email and you have a nice graphic and you're sharing some benefits about your products, and then maybe below you share a few of your blog posts that you've written recently. That's a great way to reuse the content that you've already spent time or money sourcing but also it can add additional benefit for your customers. I think a blog is definitely the best way and the most common way to get, you know, the most bang for your buck as far as content writing goes.
Yeah, and I think too, one thing that I used to do also with my t-shirt business more specifically was that I used to profile one of my retailers. So anytime I would get a new retailer on board, I would send them a quick questionnaire that they emailed back to me, and I would turn that into a blog post. And it was all about them, their store, what are the products they carry in their store. And then I would use that blog post and share that in my newsletter as well. And I would announce new retailers that had come on board since my last email. And the same thing with press. So whenever, especially with a major press thing that came out or a blogger review that was really positive or something like that, that's another thing that you can put in your email newsletter as well. And I've also seen from some other entrepreneurs where they do behind the scenes of their product or their studio, or mm-hmm. they share photos or a video, or they even talk a little bit about the process that they use, whether they make their jewelry or their soaps or screen print, their apparel or whatever kind of product they have. But I found that really helps again with the connection that you mm-hmm. can build with your audience as well. So I feel like even though it might seem a little difficult to come up with content as an e-commerce entrepreneur, just look around you. There's so many things that you can write about that would be relevant to your audience
Oh,
yeah, go on.
I was going to say, we just wrote a guide actually for our email newsletter for Open Merit, and it actually contains 101 different content ideas. And many of those are geared towards retailers. So if anyone's interested, maybe you could put a link in your show notes to it. But I think it's a pretty helpful list to get different ideas. And another big one, too, is days of the year. I don't know if this is something you've thought of, but there's a lot of obscure days of the year, like National Donut Day or different fun things that you could kind of play off of depending on what you sell. So that's always an option, too, if you're really stretching for ideas. But
yeah, those are really great. And I definitely do want to link to that 101 ideas list. I think that'll be so helpful. So I'll definitely make sure to put a link to that in the show notes of this episode. One other thing I am wondering is cleaning out your list and keeping it relevant. So do you recommend, this is something that I never did with my t-shirt business, but I am doing now with Launch Grow Joy. But do you recommend cleaning out your list? And if so, how often should you do it? And what are some of the things you should be doing to clean out your list?
I would actually recommend doing that every 6 months, maybe a year. If you're kind of also working with an e-commerce business and you don't want to lose that customer data quite yet, a year probably would be a good rule of thumb. I have a travel client that does tourism in Alaska, and they are doing an opt-in email. So they have a list of people who they haven't emailed in quite some time. And we are actually going to send them a campaign that will ask them if they are still interested in receiving our content, and also share some of the things that they would be getting and receiving if they were still interested in signing up for that, rather than emailing them and asking them to unsubscribe. Sometimes that can be a little bit better of a way to ask somebody to sign up that you haven't emailed in a while, rather than just deleting them from your list. So I recommend definitely keeping a clean list. If people aren't opening your emails, haven't opened your emails in the last 6 months, chances are they aren't interested anymore. So you don't want to risk having them marking your emails as spam. So it's really good to do that, I would say, every 6 months to a year.
Okay, yeah, that's a good, that's what I'm doing right now too with Launch Grow Joy, and it seems to be working okay. One other thing that I know people are wondering about, you were talking about open rates and click-through rates. Mm-hmm. Is there a standard in terms of what's considered like an average open rate and click-through rate, or a really good one? What do you think about that?
Usually with retail is typically lower. I want to say it's 15% to 20% is an average click-through rate for a retailer. And that, I believe, is according to Constant Contact's recent stats. I'm not sure if that differs from email company to email company. I believe it probably does. And industry to industry too, depending on what you're selling. But yeah, I would say if you're getting a 20% click-through rate, that's really good for a retailer. Anything beyond that is fantastic, I would say.
Great. Yeah, I'll have to do a little bit of research, or maybe you know the link to the study, but I'd love to put a link to that study in the show notes. So hopefully I can find that online.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. So I know we're actually, wow, we're almost running out of time, but before we sign off, what are some other tips when it comes to email marketing, whether it's about growing your list or connecting more with your list, or even just using email marketing and your list to grow your sales? What are some tips that you can share with our listeners?
I would say just try to use email marketing as much as you can to learn a lot about your subscribers. The more you can learn about them, the more you can shape your content to be relevant to them, and the more results you'll see. It's better to do that than just, you know, send an email with just your products in it, or a sale after sale after sale. People just get tired of seeing the same thing over and over again. And if there's no value attached to it for them personally, they're just not going to have that connection with your company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, sorry, were you going to say something else?
Oh, no, that was it.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say something that I actually should have asked you in the beginning, but I completely forgot to ask you. But, you know, if someone is just starting out their online store or their website and they feel like maybe they're not ready yet to send out emails, mm-hmm. should they still start collecting email addresses and use that list when they are ready, or should they wait until they're ready to start sending something out?
I would say start as soon as you possibly can. And I know that it may feel like a wasted effort to email, you know, 15 subscribers, 20 subscribers, you know, a very small number. I think if you're thinking of those subscribers as each potential orders, there's really no number that's too small and not worth sending an email to. It's just all how you think about it, I guess. So that one person could have a great experience, get your email, make a purchase, and tell 20 friends to sign up. You know, you don't know where that one person is going to take you. So I think, yeah, there's no list too small to send an email.
I love that. And I love that you said that, because I totally agree. I feel like sometimes we might get intimidated because maybe a competitor has a bigger list, or someone you know mm-hmm. has a bigger list, and you feel like, well, who's going to listen to, you know, to what I have to say? But they signed up to your list for a reason, and it's because they want to hear from you. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, I completely agree. Well, Sarah, I think those are all of the questions that I had, and I think we covered so much today. Wow, this was really helpful. I know a lot of the listeners listening are going to take a lot away from this. And I can't wait to link to your ideas and things that you've shared on your website as well. But what is the best place where our listeners can get in touch with you if they have questions, or they just want to thank you for sharing such great information?
Well, they can reach me on Twitter. I'm at Sarah Shuda, that's S-H-U-D-A. And also the website is openmerit.com. And our contact information is on that website as well. And I highly recommend checking out our blog. We'll be updating that a few times a week, and we'll be publishing free content that will hopefully help you guys build your email list and send really great emails.
That sounds great. So I'll make sure to link to all of those in the show notes. And Sarah, thank you so much for sharing all of this great info with our listeners today. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me on your show.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
So there you have it, my interview with Sarah. I really hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I took a lot away from it. I'm hoping that a lot of you who might have had questions about email marketing have gotten all of those questions answered through this interview. For all of the show notes, make sure to head on over to launchgrowjoy.com/051 and get a link to Sarah's website, the blog post ideas, and everything else that we talked about in this episode at launchgrowjoy.com
/051. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you wouldn't mind taking a couple of seconds to head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review about the show. Tell me how you like it. Let me know what other topics you'd like me to cover, and subscribe if you haven't already. So I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you with a brand new episode next week. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.